We are on Withered Faith Part 2. Withered Faith Part 2, what do you do? If you've come to the awareness that you have withered faith, and you can say, well, how do I know that I have withered faith? Well, you have withered faith if you are not able to say, I have the fruit, the fresh fruit of the Spirit in my life. And I've got it right here. The fresh fruit of the Spirit. So let's look at the fresh fruit of the Spirit before we get into the exact scriptures we're going to be looking at tonight. From Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, we're going to look at the sevenfold, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit here is in singular. So it means that at one time or another in Israel, they have now, and in some places in America, because we don't have that many places in America where we have the type of weather that they have, but they have grafted trees, bushes, and fruit-bearing trees and bushes together that were never together before, and they can have fruit on those trees all throughout the year. Very many different types of trees that have been grafted together. Now here, because some of those trees have to be very cyclical, they have to lose their leaves, they have to be able to come back again, they have to be able to do those things. But we are not like the trees that bring forth fruit. We're supposed to be expecting seasons of fruitfulness. And when we don't have any, we don't need to be sitting around saying, oh, there's something wrong with me. No, we were created for the Spirit to bring forth fruit in us. And that fruit is, and here it says, starting with the first, it says love. That's not where we just go up to somebody and say, oh, hey, I like you. Yes, I do. Because that's a kind of fondness for one another. The fruit here is when you go up to somebody and say, I'm willing to suffer for you, like Jesus did whenever he came knocking on your heart's door and telling you, I have plans for your life. I know how to handle your sin. Would you please let me be the one who suffers for you? So when's the last time you can know of a time that you suffered for somebody? I'm not going to do it all nine of them. And you say, well, I'm suffering all the time. Well, that's a good thing. Because if there is no gain in this world without some suffering being a part of it. If we suffer with Him, what is the gain? We shall also reign with Him. And I'm planning on ruling and reigning. I may not be having a whole lot of pain right now, but I'm not ashamed of suffering. And if you're ashamed of suffering, then you do not know who Jesus is. Because if we suffer with Him, we shall also rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And I'm excited about that. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Got any joy in your life? When's the last time you had some? Peace. Peace is the understanding, the waiting for all things to find their proper position. I can't wait. I've got to do something now. Then you don't have any peace. When's the last time that you were willing to wait? Long-suffering. When's the last time you were willing to be long-suffering? Gentleness. That doesn't mean whenever they deserve gentleness. That means being gentle in spite of other people or in spite of yourself. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When is the last time that any of these have abounded in any of us? Because we should be believing in the next season, our fruit-bearing season. When we're bringing forth fruit, if we belong to God, in the 15th chapter of John, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You will be pruned back, because if you're pruned back, then you can bring forth more fruit. And you're going to be pruned back. I don't like pruning. I kind of like that branch over there, although it kind of looked like that king's withered hand. It was kind of artful. Don't take it away. God's determined that we will bring forth fruit. And so if you don't know, you can't remember the last time you brought forth any of these things. You, not somebody around you, because you shouldn't always go picking off of somebody else's tree. You should be having something for somebody else. And if you haven't brought forth fruit, then you might say to yourself, I don't know, how withered is my faith. Remember, I shook this thing and all those leaves fell off of there. It looks beautiful, but it's not all that beautiful at all. So now then, we want to look at some scriptures in here, and very quickly, so we can see about things being withered. And let's see if I want to do any of these that I have here. Those are all in the New Testament, which is fine. And I think all the Old Testament ones that I have, or I have used the only ones I really wanted to use, which were in Isaiah anyway. So let us look at Matthew 12. Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 10. Because I believe I used this last week, or a scripture that was like to it in one of the other Gospels. And let's skip back to Matthew 12 and go back a few verses before that to the where there is a man with a withered hand that was there in the synagogue, and they were watching him. And I told you about the fact that they had come to, first of all, the first time they came to Jesus after he had worked miracles was to be able to observe him. The second time was to ask him questions. And the third time was to be able to say whether or not they were going to accept him as the Messiah. Do y'all remember that from last week? Some of y'all weren't here. But you need to remember that the Jews knew to find out about the Messiah the first time that they were with him, they could speak no words. They needed to see, hear him, and hear him, and watch him. The second time, they could speak to him. They could ask him questions. Have you heard Jesus? That's most important. If you've heard him, are you willing to ask questions and to receive what he has to say back? And the third time you've got to, and I don't know whether either of these three things have ever happened to you, but they should happen to you. The third time you've got to determine whether or not you're going to, and you say, well, there's so many times I've been given so many chances, maybe I'm not going to get any more. No, you're getting more chances than that. You've got to decide whether or not you're going to have anything to do with him. And behold, there was a man that had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? Remember, they're moving towards wanting to accuse him. I'm sure that y'all haven't seen anything in the news about anybody wanting to accuse anybody in America today. Yeah, at least y'all are watching the news. That's a good thing. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not go and reach in and lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him, and that's the Hebrew name for Jesus, Yeshua is Jesus, has laid upon him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all, so that Jesus could lay his hands on us and pull us back from the pit and save us. And so we see this man has the withered hand. Go on, what's the next verse that's in there? And then he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. I don't know what Jesus is going to say to you tonight. It's not for me to tell you what Jesus is going to say to you tonight. But I can guarantee you that Jesus is going to talk to every person in here tonight. And he's going to have something very special and very important to say to you, even if you have withered faith. And he said, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth. It took a little bit of faith for him to stretch it out. How often, I don't remember the name of the man who worked down at the Hornbeck for years. Pardon? No, you're remembering the owners of the Hornbeck. There was a man who worked down there who had a hand that wasn't like other hands. Y'all remember him? Most people didn't want to touch him. I one time began to feel like that I should reach out and touch him. And then you'll say, well, did you go to the movie house? Yeah, I saw movies that I probably shouldn't have seen. But I went to the movie house, but I had the opportunity to reach out and touch him, and how in his eyes I could see that he appreciated that there was someone who wasn't there to point at him and harass him and was willing to touch him. So it took some faith for this man to be touched down at Hornbeck, and it took faith for this man to reach out his withered hand, and he stretched it forth and it was restored whole like as the other. What is Jesus wanting to do in this congregation tonight? So tonight we want to look into Matthew the 13th chapter, I believe now. And we're going to look at a withering that happens in Matthew the 13th chapter. Yes. And we're going to start with verse 1. And the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so much that he went into a ship and sat down. Do you remember whenever he asked Peter to bring a ship over and asked him to get into it? And he taught from that ship while those people all were crowded there on the shore. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to be close to him. They wanted to hear him. And so they were gathered together, and he went into the ship, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, my mother used to sew garments, but this is not sowing about garments. It's about casting seed into a field. And a sower went forth to sow seed, and when he sowed, some of the seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up, and some fell among the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, but because they had no deepness of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And that's all I'm going to read to you of this parable. Because if you have no root, your life will begin to wither away. Now then, we know from later on in the parables that Jesus is talking about the Word being cast into people's hearts. Some of it falls upon the hard pathways and the birds come and eat it up. Some of it falls upon stony ground, and when the Word begins to take root and to grow into someone, because it does not have the deepness of root, so the Word must come and take root in us. We must hide His Word in our hearts. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. How would I sin against God? Because without His Word, it's impossible for me to have faith. Romans the 10th chapter verse 17 says, So then, faith cometh by hearing. Not hearing a preacher, but by hearing God. Whenever you're here and you're listening to a man that's going to flap, 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 and his tongue is just lashing all over everywhere, you're hoping you're going to hear God. You've got to hear God. People must hear God. When we're out, it's amazing to me how little I hear of people speaking about God whenever I'm out somewhere. And whenever I do speak to them, they're always shocked that they're actually hearing the Word of God. We must speak the Word of God. Another portion of Scripture where it talks about the Word is in Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. That word is supposed to take root. We've got to make sure we take care of the Word so that it can take root, because our lives, our hearts are very stony places. And you can get seeds to grow in stony places if you'll carefully make sure that it doesn't get too hot, and if you'll carefully make sure there's enough moisture in the places around the stones so that those roots can grow between the stones and even into the ground underneath and begin to pull nourishment out of the ground. Our hearts need to have the Word growing into our hearts, even the stony parts. That's why you want to hide His Word in your heart. You want to speak the Word to yourself, and you want to speak the Word to other people. For God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that verse. Because one day that verse became alive in me, and I became a man or a boy who began to have everlasting life. Didn't know much about it, but it shocked me to the core. Whenever I said, Jesus, I need Jesus, I'm accepting Jesus, and suddenly I was alive in ways that I had never been before, but I was nothing alive in that day like I am today because of what the Word has been growing and doing inside of me. But the best part of that is not John 3:16. The best part is the next verse that comes after it. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. The Word will not condemn you. It may jerk you around and make you aware of the fact that, what are you doing? You're not dealing with this growing thing that's growing here. You're not dealing properly with it. You're not allowing it to do something in your life. But that next verse is so wonderful. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be... What's that next word, everyone? Saved. 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 I've been saved. People need to know about salvation. And so we see here that in Isaiah 55:11, he says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Remember, y'all are hearing God now. You're not just hearing Phil Thompson. You'll hear a little bit of Phil Thompson in between. Take that little bit of Phil Thompson and kind of use a toothpick and pull it out from between your teeth and get rid of it. And hear what God has to say. For so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. This is out of the mouth of God. It shall not return to me void. It won't come back empty. But it will accomplish what I sent it forth to do. And it will prosper in the place where I send it. And right now you've managed to get in here this evening, just a few of us, so that you can be prospered by the Word. Because if we're not being prospered by the Word, we can be just like this lovely, beautiful plant that's been here for a week and a half, 11 or 12 days, and it still looks lovely. By this time, usually all of the roses have become kind of like this rose right here. And look at them. Maybe you've managed to be able to keep the outside looking kind of sprucey. But you know that you have withered faith. And you're wanting to have more than withered faith. Or maybe you don't know that you've had withered faith. You need to have some friends. Real friends who can tell you the truth. Now, don't all of y'all come trying to tell me the truth at once. I'll take you one at a time. And even then, I'm going to have to be somewhat rested up from what some of y'all are going to tell me. Please give me a chance to be able to be ready. But you need to have some friends who'll come and tell you the truth. And you need to ask them and say, do I have a withered faith? When's the last time you saw love or joy or peace or long-suffering or gentleness or kindness or temperance? When's the last time you saw any of those things in me? Please be gentle. Because if you got friends that can't be gentle, they're really not friends. But you need to know whether you've got withered faith or not. Have you got a faith that's worth something? Faith that God can use. And so we see here that Jesus is talking about the Word growing into places, because He's going to tell us later on, the seed is the Word. The sower is the man who goes, or the woman that goes spreading the Word. And I'm so very proud of you all, because I know that you all look for opportunities to be able to speak the Word in the places where you go. And so the Word that has no root and is not given the opportunity to be shielded from the heat of this world, hide it and shield it as much as you can. Some of it falls upon good ground and it brings forth 30 times as much. Whatever the scriptures say, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if it's the same way as it is with the Word, I know if I've sowed bad seeds and
I'd love to tell you that I'm the most perfect preacher y'all have ever seen. And I only reap good things. But I know me a little bit better than you, even if you come and tell me the truth. I still know me a little bit better than you do. And I'm praying that those seeds that have been sown, that I don't get 30 times as much or 60 times as much or 100 times as much. That's why I want to sow the Word. Because it's going to bring 30 times as much good, 60 times as much good, or 100 times as much good. Now, if I receive a lot of bad seeds in this life, I'm still going to go to heaven. But I should have sowed better. I should have had a faith that was not withered, but it was alive. So the last scripture we're going to look at this evening, I have 10 minutes to be able to bring this message to a close, is going to be in John the 5th chapter. And in John the 5th chapter, we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to go looking for withered faith. Withered faith. I was wanting to be able to bring out the idea of the fact that Jesus came to a fig tree one day when he was coming from Bethany in the east to Jerusalem in the west. And as he was going over from Bethany in the east, and I'm wondering why, whenever he was going from Bethany in the east, didn't he eat back there? But for some reason, he did not eat back there. Where he was, and he's going towards Jerusalem, where he's not probably going to have much chance to be able to eat there, because he's going over there to be about his Father's business. And you all know, those of you that do business, sometimes your business so consumes you that although you might have hoped you had a chance for a little snack somewhere along the way, you don't get one until much later in the day. So Jesus is coming as he's going, and he's hungry, and he goes to the fig tree and he sees it off. Now I want you to know, this is early in the spring. This is not later in the year, because we know that whenever he does not find any figs on it here, that the figs that it's talking about is he doesn't find anything ripe. It's the wrong time of the year for a ripe fig. It's early in the spring. And he's going to Jerusalem, but he's looking for what would have been there right after the flowers that would come on the fig tree, and I don't know what they look like. I remember living in Texas in a place where we had fig trees that grew there. We lived there for about 6 months before we moved on to the next place. I don't remember if there were figs on that tree or not. I do love figs, and if y'all ever get any, bring me some. I love figs. But anyway, I don't know what a fig flower looks like, but right after that fig flower drops off, even that little thing that begins to grow there is still edible. And if it's early in the spring, that's all there is on there. And when he comes to it, there's leaves. It's springtime. There's leaves everywhere. But there's not a fig bud anywhere on that. How's another way that we know that we have withered faith is because what fruit is there on us that the Master might be pleased? Because I want you to know something. Our God loves to brag on those that belong to Him. You'll say, how do I know that in the Bible? Look at Job. One day all the angels came before the throne of God. The devil had been able to come back from his exile, and he's there also. And so God says, hey, Lucifer, Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? There's not a man like him. Look at him. And of course, Lucifer wanted to mess with Job. But God was bragging. And you might say, well, God would never be able to brag about me. Well, you don't know God very much. Because if you've got a little bit of faith and it's not withered, God's bragging on you tonight too. And so God wants to brag. So let's look in here for something that's withered a little bit, and then we'll get it to the very end of this time when we're thinking about withered faith. And you'll say, why are we doing that? Why are we thinking about withered faith? Because if all we've got is withered faith, there's another story about a man who had a fig tree and it didn't bring anything forth for 3 seasons. Jesus told this story also. 3 seasons it didn't bring anything forth. And the man who owned the fig tree, he had a man who came and cultivated it and kept it good and made it lush. And he came to the man who made it lush and said, let's cut it down. Huh. If I've got withered faith and I'm not bringing forth any fruit, do you think there might come a day whenever even my master might say to me, let's cut it down. It's wasting the space that I have given to it. And the man who was the cultivator, the one that took care of it, said, No. Let me dig around the roots. Let me fertilize it really good. Let me water it extra special. Let's give it one more chance. And if it doesn't bring anything forth next year, then we'll cut it down. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is in the Hebrew tongue called Bethesda. That is the house of mercy. I want you to know that if Jesus is here, the master of mercy is here. That's why I'm not afraid if I have withered faith. The master of mercy is here. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and withered. Now then, we know that there's one man that he does something for here. We don't know how many other people there were that were there that he did something for, but it names several different types of people. It says of impotent. One of these people that we're going to read about in this story was impotent. He couldn't do nothing for himself. And then it talks also about blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And I'm wondering, why? Was there somebody that was their opportunity that day also? Because they were withered? Because I want you to know something. Jesus came to meet our needs. So whatever your need is, if you're dealing with it, you can't afford to be withered in faith. Whenever you have a need that you're, hoping and praying and yearning and longing for Jesus to take care of. And the reason that they were waiting for the moving of the water, because they believed that an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man, now remember there were other people that were there also. There were the impotent, which he is impotent, and there were blind, and there were halt, and there were withered that were gathered there. And a certain man, and I want to ask you, do you believe that God looks at you and says, there's my certain child? Or does God just kind of look over you and say, I've got a certain child? I believe whenever he looks at his own, he says, that one's special to my heart. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. I don't know how long you've been dealing with your problem. Sometimes it's better if you're able to get away from it, to get away from it. But here, this one had had a problem for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, remember, you're hearing God tonight. Will you be made whole? And the impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man. Well, withered faith will tell you that. I don't have anybody. Yeah, you do. You got Jesus. And he's able. I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming in, another will step over me before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately. Now I want you to know something. This man, the word had already had to be working in him. Already. But immediately, this man was made whole and he took up his bed and he walked. I don't know if you're going to have to walk out of here limping in your brokenness tonight. But it's kind of like that scripture that I was able to use earlier whenever I talked to you about praying for someone and telling them, you know, Jesus said, I will never, never leave you, and I will never, never, never forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And if you believe that that was possible for you, you need to believe there's a lot of days out there where you're going to be able to say, it's going to be a bold day. It's going to be a day where you're full of expectation, or maybe you're already past it, you've already got it, and now you want to be bold with everybody. The Lord has been my helper.
But this man had been this way for 38 years. Take up your bed and walk. And immediately he walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. And of course the Jews were unhappy because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. I'm glad that Jesus wants to be involved with a sinner like me. And I can guarantee you, if he wants to be involved with a sinner like me, he wants to be involved with you too. Remember that scripture from Isaiah 40 verse 7 and Isaiah 40 verse 8 where it says, "For the grass withers." So it's a natural thing to wither. It's a supernatural thing to have your withering stop and you begin to walk out of that. Who knows? Tonight you may walk out of here totally whole. But if you're living for bold days, you're going to walk out of here being able to say, that preacher said something about bold days. Said Jesus said, you should boldly be able to say, the Lord is my helper. I think that's a good way to end a message, don't you? The Lord is my helper. Everybody say that with me. Because if you'll say it with as little faith as you've got, because you don't have to have much. If you'll say it with that much, heaven will respond to you tonight. Say it with me. The Lord is my helper. Say it one more time. The Lord is my helper. And one more time. The Lord is my helper. I can tell you something. Some of y'all were saying that a little bit more vigorously at the end. That means that you're looking for bold days. Whenever you can do it and it's already been done. And you're going to get bolder every step from here if it hasn't happened yet, because you know you're not going to have to wait 38 years that it's going to happen. The Lord will be your helper. So let's all stand. We're going to offer up this song. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew